life. There's a lot of passionate fans in Alberta, and whether for the Flames or for the Oilers. But like we said, as players, we're trying not to get consumed by that.
Morgan Geekie of the Seattle Kraken throws it back in front, just missed Cousins with that pass. Now he comes Dubois with a pass, shot, score! Pierre-Luc Dubois being buried in front, slides it by Huska, and it's 3-1 Canada.
Looks like a bump in the corner.
Stützle down.
He's hurt.
Oh boy.
And limping noticeably.
His left leg. Pierre Dorion, who's in the building today.
Oh, and a slash by Stützle. On as he's going off. Stützle's going straight to the dressing room.
TSN 1200.
Welcome back to the show, 8:16 here on a Tuesday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. That was Mike Smith off the top. Edmonton goalie, of course, setting up the Battle of Alberta, which will begin Game 1, Round 2 tomorrow night in Calgary. And then some highlights from Canada's 5-1 win over Slovakia at the World Hockey Championship, and a low light, if you're a Senator fan, the injury to Tim Stützle in Germany's game versus France yesterday. And again, we're going to connect it with Mike Johnson in Helsinki in just a second. But that was one of those ones that, the ones from the side of the knee, those are the ones that potentially, don't want to be an alarmist, those potentially can be serious.
Well, and that and the Suzuki one, it's always a little bit of a wiggle. Going back to 91, Jared, I was asked this question yesterday, and I did not know a couple things. Who won the series, and who were the goaltenders back in 91 for Calgary and Edmonton?
Mm.
I know you'll know who won the series.
Correct.
But
Edmonton won in overtime in Game 7 on an Esa Tiikkanen goal.
Okay. Are we kind of going, are we still Billy Ranford? Or?
I would think so in 91, right? Because he was he won the Conn Smythe in 1990.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I think he's still there in 91.
And is Vernie Long gone?
I know. I think Mike Vernon would still be there.
Okay.
Guessing.
Yeah. No, just funny. The little windows there. Recall.
I'm old, Simmer, but not that old.
No,
my memory's not that good.
No, I know. But I just was curious. I couldn't even recall who the heck won the darn thing. And that was pretty much the beginning of the end of the Edmonton Oilers, right? Some real poor drafting late 80s, along with the sell-off of players to the New York Rangers and other clubs around the league. It was pretty much peak time.
All right, so that will start tomorrow night, the so-called Battle of Alberta. Rangers-Carolina also starts tomorrow. Starting tonight, we get Game 1 of the, and continue to, again, we're Disney Duel, Gator Grapple, Florida Feud, Gong Show in the Glades.
Oh.
Those are some of the latest ideas that people have for a nickname for the Tampa-Florida series, which will kick everything off tonight at 7, 9:30. It's St. Louis and Colorado. Without further ado, we're going a long distance to Helsinki, Finland, and connecting with TSN's Mike Johnson, covering the World Hockey Championships, but lots of playoff insights as well. Mike, is always a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning/afternoon, Mike?
I am doing very well. I really, really appreciate the Gong Show in the Glades. Like, that sounds like something I would like to talk about. Gong Show in the Glades. I played in Tampa 1 year, right? So we go for training camp exhibition game in Fort Myers, Florida. So like trying to grow the game, Tampa, Florida exhibition game. And we take the bus down there. Our air conditioning on the bus doesn't work. It's 1,000 degrees. We're all like sweating out like we're trying to cut weight for boxers. We get to the game. We got nothing left. We look at their roster. They have legit 8 really, really tough players playing against us. And we didn't bring an appropriate kind of roster for that kind of game.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there stretching before the game on the, you know, at the red line, whatever. And I see Ray Whitney. I'm like, what? When it goes down, I'm finding you. You're the only one that I want to talk to when things get out of control. He's like, don't kid yourself, Mike. I was going to come find you, too. I'm like, perfect, perfect.
Based
sure enough, we had, I don't know, 14 fights in that game. It was obscene. It was crazy.
Based on the age of the fan base, was it an early bird special, like 4 p.m. start?
Yeah. The good news is all the action was over by about 4:30. We'd have a dozen fights, and they could go on with the rest of their day.
There you go. Good stuff. All right, listen, before we get to the playoffs and your thoughts on some of the off-ice stuff in the NHL, let's start with, I think, the big news for Ottawa Senator fans this morning, and you did the game yesterday between Germany and France, and the hit that Tim Stützle took on the side of his knee, which forced him to leave the game. There's been no update. There was no update from the Germans yesterday. We haven't found anything yet this morning. So you're our boots on the ground man in Helsinki. Have you heard or read anything today as far as an update on the status of Tim Stützle?
I have not, no. I just got to the rink a little while ago, so I haven't kind of really buzzed around. But it was not a dirty hit. It wasn't a violent hit. It was just kind of where bodies got tangled up. And it was like the right side of the body of Timmy's body took the impact of the boards. But as the defender was kind of spinning around, he bumped into the left side of his leg. And you know what it looks like when it could be nothing. It could be absolutely nothing. It could be a pulled groin. But the way the guy bumped into the side of his knee, I did not like the way that looked. That was one of those ones where, like, those weird little pop moves where you could tear your MCL or tear your ACL with it. And I'm not saying it's that at all, but I just it was one of those contacts you're like, oh, boy, that can be bad. And I am so hopeful that it is not. I would imagine that they are going to get imaging today and last night and MRIs and everything else to make sure that whatever's going on is 100% okay before he thinks about getting back in the lineup. So I will let you know when I hear, but I imagine it's going to be a little bit. The good news is, if we remember, the training staff for Canada is the medical staff from Ottawa. So he not only has a German group, but he also has a group of guys that he's worked with all year that he trusts, that know his body, to also kind of go through these tests and make sure he's okay. And Pierre Dorion was here yesterday as well, and I imagine he would have been, you know, front and center down around the German dressing room to make sure that Tim is getting well taken care of.
MJ, it's always the wiggle that scares me. But having said that, he had whiplash on Suzuki, which I was like, okay,
yeah,
you kind of got past one. Hey, just thoughts on the overall tournament, kind of how it's felt. And I know it's a massive pool, and maybe not quite the same talent level. But what's the vibe around the tournament been like?
People having a good time, and that's the vibe, right? I think everyone's excited. Like, all the fans are excited to be back in the building and have countries have, you know, every country, whether they're good or bad. You know, they got the fans, they got the flags, they got the face painting, all those different things. Like, that's kind of the vibe that people are excited that it's back. And you're right. I mean, you take Russia out of the tournament, and even Belarus, and you know, you add some teams that are maybe not quite as good. And so there's some lopsided scores. But when those teams play each other, like when Kazakhstan played Italy, yeah, maybe it might not be Stanley Cup final caliber, but it's really important for those teams, right? So you have more games that matter amongst the lower teams as well. So, you know, we're kind of in the meat of it here. So we get through this week, and then it really picks up through the weekend and on into next week. So, and Canada's been good so far. And Pierre-Luc Dubois, if you didn't watch Winnipeg play this year, you could see why he had a career year. You could see why he is a load to play again. He's just a massive, strong hockey player that is kind of having his way with the competition right now. So he's been a standout for Canada.
All right, let's turn our attention to what's going on back over here, and we'll start with maybe getting your thoughts on you know, the elimination of teams on the weekend. We'll start with Toronto, because they're whatever fan or not of the Leafs, they're certainly a high-profile team. So what are your thoughts now on a garbage bag day in Toronto today on what you saw in the 7-game series, and then what you think might happen in the long off season?
So it's... You know, I don't know if any loss feels better than any other one. I mean, I feel at least in this year, they went down playing well. I thought in their loss to Montreal and maybe even against Columbus the two previous years, you know, they wouldn't feel satisfied in how they played, especially when they lost. But the way they play hard. Tampa's a resilient team. You can't really point to the stars and say, you know, Austin Matthews, why didn't you do anything? I think he led the team in points. Mitch Marner was good. It's just so bitterly disappointing that once again, it's almost... You'd have to laugh because, like, the fact you get to an elimination game so many years in a row and never find a way to win. I think this is the frustrating part for the Leafs, is that the way they built their team and they have these four forwards, and the idea was that they are difference makers, and they have been. They've been great in the regular season, but you'd think over 5-6 years, at some point in one of those elimination games, somebody would do something special, because they're all special players. Someone will go get a hat trick, and that would be enough to get them through, but it just wasn't meant to be again. So it's brutal, and the hardest part is, given how many times it's happened, there's nothing they can say today to the media all summer that's going to matter at all. There's nothing they can say. All they can just say is, it hurts, it sucks, we tried, we're going to try again next year, and that is going to ring so bitterly hollow to the people saying it as well as the fans. So, you know, I think the sensible thing going forward would probably be, you know, you don't want to try to trade guys away just to trade guys away. If you can improve the team somehow, then I guess you have to look at those things. And I think to improve the team, their best bet would probably be to change the defense. try to bolster the defense somehow, probably with physicality, with defensive defensemen, and try to find some way to do that. And that may cost them a really good player, but I don't think just trading one of the big guys just to trade him is the way to go. And the other easy way is to change the coach. I think Sheldon's a very good coach. I think he's got a great track record. I think the team and him, they understand how each other work. And he guided them to the fourth best record in the league. That's hard to do. So I would be very careful about just changing the coach out just because it's the easiest thing to do. So what am I expecting this summer? Probably more tinkering than anything super significant, even with coaches like Barry Trotz or Pete DeBoer out there and available. I imagine probably digging around the edges as opposed to, firing the coach or trading one of those four forwards or something more significant like that.
MJ, the issue I have or the thought I look at, and I'll go back to Tampa Bay and you're building and it's a process, you understand. You get swept by Columbus. It's devastating. But I never felt like there was a downturn in the talent from the Toronto Maple Leafs perspective based on not handling the salary cap very well. And for long enough, Dubas and Shanahan have been there. The drafting and development for having 3,000 scouts hasn't been great. Can you confidently say that they can? Like, I don't think they're going to be able to ice as good a team next year with the increase of salary in Riley, with Mikheyev's situation, with the goaltending situation in flux. Isn't that the frustration that it's going to be pretty? I can't see how they're going to be better next year.
Yeah, 100%. You're right. That would have been the case last year, although they're pretty darn good this year. I would have said, the run would be a bunch of all when they had Freddie and Jack, and, they were going to be able to do more, have more, maybe their best team ever. And then they lost to the Canadiens. They might have been talent-wise a fractionally lower, but they certainly played very well this year. But you're right. Like, I don't know what they're going to do in net, because you can't have Campbell and Mrazek sign next year. You just can't. Not for that team. So either you got to trade Mrazek or you can't re-sign Campbell. I think they would like to trade Mrazek if they can. And then Mikheyev has played himself off the team because he's been too good. You can't afford to pay him $3 or $4 million, which he's going to earn and deserve. So yeah, they probably will be a little bit weaker. You talk about draft and development; they traded away so many of their high picks as well. They don't have, all the first rounders from the last few years that would be ideally stepping into the lineup right now. So you got to hope what Nick Robertson has been around and can do something when he gets the lineup, or Topi Niemelä, who they just signed out of Finland, can step in there and be there, or if it's Sandin or Liljegren or whoever. But yeah, I don't know if they get it. They're still going to be very good. Don't get me wrong. They're going to be a playoff team. They're going to be excellent.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they'll be better than this year. And that if you're at your very best and you still can't get through the first round, we're not even talking about four rounds, Zimmer.
Yeah.
We're talking about the first round, one round. That is frustrating for everybody.
Patrice Bergeron, what's your gut tell you? Does he come back and play hockey next? Oh, I think we all think if he's playing, he's going back to Boston. But what's your gut say about Patrice Bergeron?
Very confidently in saying he's not playing anywhere but Boston if he plays at all. So, I know the Montreal Canadiens like, Kent Hughes is his agent and he speaks French. No, he's not going to go play for Montreal. If he plays, he's playing for Boston. My less than confident opinion is I think he's going to retire. I think Patrice has been through so much. His body, he doesn't make much noise about it, but he has been through some injuries. And he has been, a grind. He's put his body through the wear and tear. So I think if I had to guess, I'd be guessing he steps away and retires, which is incredible because he deserves, and I think he will win the Selke again. He's still playing at an incredibly high level. It's not like he can't do it. He could sign a 3-year deal for $25 million if he wanted to. I just think his body has been through so much, and I think he can appreciate he wants quality of life with all his little kids running around for the next 50 years that it might be time.
Do you think Seabass will probably almost do a Jim Carrey on him and you say, listen, one more year. I just want one more year out of you. You come back as the dust settles. Because that's what I agree with you, MJ. And JR said, lean towards. But once you take a month off and you say, listen, just come back for 1 year. Give you a nice salary here. We're going to go all in.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he'll try. Yeah. I'm sure he's going to, he'll order some soup in the corner and give him a wave over, like, come on over, Seabass. And he'll say, one more for sure. And I think there probably would be good advice in the sense that don't file the papers next week.
Yeah.
Even if that's what you think, if that's the way you're leaning, like, give your body and your life some time to settle down. Wait until August 1st. See how you're feeling there, mentally, physically, where your family's at, what you guys want to do. They're obviously going to live in Boston. They're still settled in there. And Seabass will tell him, that's Cam Neely people, if he did not know, Samuel will tell, listen, and when you're done playing, you're going to work here as an ambassador, as a president, as an assistant for the rest of your life. Like, you're just been. But we'd like you to play one more year. We'll give you $8 million more, and let's try one more time with this group, because they're still a good team, as they showed the first round, bowing out to a pretty excellent Carolina team. But I also think that Patrice Bergeron is his own guy enough that even Cam Neely, as persuasive as he might try to be, if he's made his mind up, he's just going to go with what he wants to do.
On the surface, all four of these second-round playoff series look like really great matchups. Which one do you believe will end up being the best series, just from a competitive point of view?
Competitive-wise, I mean, I think Florida-Tampa, given what happened last year. I'm leery with Braden White being hurt, but just the energy and the physicality and the mayhem of last year makes me want to watch that one the most. I'm worried about injuries in Tampa kind of getting worn down here, but I want to see that one because I think it's going to be kind of wild and woolly like last year's was. As far as competitive goes, probably Calgary-Edmonton, amazingly enough. Like, they split the season series. They're both playing well. Mike Smith can play as well as he did in the first round. Edmonton is basically a toss-up, and I want to see what Connor McDavid can do when Connor McDavid is playing at a level that is heads and tails the best in the world right now, like only he can. I think that one is probably going to go long, probably going to go seven, and be very tight.
Mm. How much, if Chris Tanev ends up being injured, he didn't play in Game 7 versus Dallas, because I think he's one of the elite shutdown defensemen in the NHL. If he can't play for Calgary, against McDavid specifically, how much of an issue is that?
Very, very significant. People were like, "Oh, well, Chris Tanev." No, Chris Tanev, you're right, and he's been the last couple of years one of the best defensive defensemen. Calgary's one of the best defensive teams, in large part because they have a top four that they can trust so reliably to play the system and get the job done against every kind of opposition. And now, obviously, Connor's going to do things occasionally where nobody's going to stop him. But I'd take Chris Tanev over anybody else on that team to try to. So I don't even know what the bigger one is. If Chris Tanev can't play versus Leon Draisaitl being whatever, 70% healthy, both are hugely significant parts of their team. And Draisaitl is gutting it out, playing a lot, but he's obviously not right either. But Tanev, make no mistake, is a significant. And the fact that he didn't play Game 7 tells you that he's really hurt, right? Like, he's not a guy that's going to pull himself out of the lineup if there's any way that he could get through a game. And he obviously was injured enough that he could not.
I was so impressed watching Carolina lock it down. I mean, their own zone, I don't think anybody makes better puck decisions, manages the puck better. Do you think there's a chance in that series that if the goaltending is there, that they could just literally pick the New York Rangers apart?
Well, the Rangers were absolutely crushed by Pittsburgh, right? Yeah. Like, dominated 5-on-5. Shot shares, expected goals, chances, you name it. And Louis Domingue, you know, wasn't quite able to get it done. Crosby was injured. Shesterkin got really hot at the end. Yes, I think that could be a problem. If Bronta is good somewhere near Shesterkin, or Shesterkin is not otherworldly, because Carolina does a lot of the stuff that Pittsburgh does, but better, faster, more of it. I think that one, the games could feel lopsided. I'm sure the Rangers will find a way to win one or two or whatever, but the games could feel lopsided, like many of the Pittsburgh games were as well.
Yeah. Thoughts on Pete DeBoer being fired, and would the obvious be Barry Trotz?
Yeah, so we're trying to we do this all the time, right? Coaches come available, you start doing the match game. Pete DeBoer, well, listen, Vegas, it's hard when they had as many injuries as they did. But I will say this, the special teams were not great. The goaltending dysfunction, he has to take some ownership of because he's the head coach. And the fact that they missed the playoffs, regardless of all the injuries, you know, he has to carry some of that. He knew going in, given that Vegas is very aggressive, that they would not tolerate, for any reason, kind of any kind of underachieving season. So he probably shouldn't be surprised. Barry Trotz would help them for sure. If Barry Trotz will have to try to take that on, I think Barry Trotz would be great for any team. So I wonder if Barry Trotz goes to Vegas, and I'm like, where's Pete DeBoer going? A lot of people are saying Toronto. I don't know. He's actually from Windsor. Windsor's very close to Detroit. You know, maybe it's Detroit, the landing spot for Pete DeBoer. You start trying to move the pieces around the board, and you wonder if that doesn't, the first domino, I think, is Trotz, wherever he goes, whether it's Winnipeg or whether it's Vegas or wherever. DeBoer might be the next guy to go, and I wonder if Detroit might be interested in his services.
All right. Well, you got some TV work. You have the highly anticipated Italy-Denmark game coming up next hour on TSN. I'm just about to go on my phone app. Give me the early line on Italy versus Denmark.
Oh, I got it. Denmark's got to be favored by 3.5.
Okay.
The over-under's got to be 6.5.
Okay.
Nick Ehlers is going to have a field day out here because he's playing at Warp Speed and everyone else kind of can't quite get up to his pace. So I expect a big game out of him. I'm going to say 5 or 6-2 for Denmark.
Okay.
We'll see how wide I am next week.
All right. Yeah, that sounds good. All right. You and Gordon will have the call next hour on TSN. Appreciate the time, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Talk to you, come
in. K45 on this Tuesday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer. Jamie Baker, our Sens analyst, is going to stop by in about 5 minutes or so with our round two playoff predictions. He's nicely tucked into third place, a point behind Simmer and I, and pacing well ahead of Hammer, pulling up the rear.
Yeah.
But again, double the points in round
two. 2 points.
Jamie Baker coming up in about 5 minutes or so. Let's quickly touch on a couple of other things before we get to Bakes. CFL players are gathering this morning. In fact, at 9 o'clock this morning, outside Tim Hortons Field, in a show of solidarity over stalled CBA talks with the league. There were no talks yesterday after they broke down on the weekend. And at this point, according to Dave Naylor, and Dave did a really good kind of summation yesterday on the drive. If you missed it, you can find it on our website, tsn1200.ca. On the state of negotiations, I guess, or lack thereof with the league. But there's nothing scheduled for this week. There's a chance a mediator could be called in, bring the two sides together. I know AJ, and I talked to him yesterday, he was of the opinion, just talking to some players, that they thought that this could be something, you know, it's like, you know, go away for 2 days, draw your lines in the sand, and then we'll come together. But at least through one day of that, there's been, you know, somebody's got to make the pick up the phone and say, why don't we try again here?
Yeah.
And it's up to, you know, who's going to be the less stubborn of the two, I guess.
Yeah, no, for sure, JR. And again, labor disputes in anything, sports, the world, hard to comprehend. And my gut feeling would be you get something done. And for the players, I'm going to guess, unfortunately for them, JR, you just hold the line for a little bit here, knowing you're going to have to take your next best offer. That's my guess. You know what I mean? I don't see where, you know, they're going to say, oh, well, you know what? We're walking out. It's more like, okay, can we just use the next 2, 3, 4 days here before things really start to get nervous, you know, to get our best possible deal? And then I think, not unfortunately, but they'll sign something. That's just my feeling looking at it from the outside.
This is the same with all work disputes, strikes, lockouts, or whatever. Until someone starts losing some money, that's when the rubber meets the road, right? And no one's losing any money at this stage. No games have been lost. No paychecks have been lost on behalf of players. Until you're willing to go that far, either, again, as the league or as a players association, you know, there is not necessarily an impetus to get back to work. And right now, the first exhibition game is actually scheduled for this Monday. Mm-hmm. And they have it's hard to think of, right, that they said, like, a couple more, if they don't have a deal within a couple of days, they're going to have to cancel or cancel the game scheduled for Monday. Mm-hmm. To think that you could bring in, especially on a football team, so hard to begin with at the beginning of a season, an exhibition season, to have any cohesion. And you're talking about, okay, we got a deal Thursday. Oh, by the way, we got a game on Monday.
Yeah.
Like, good luck with that.
Well, you're almost better having a controlled scrimmage, JR. And I know relative to salary cap, is it about $5.3 million? Is that
somewhere
what they've talked about?
Yeah.
And I know, you know, and again, I don't know the exact TV money, but you have some pretty good coverage. What would be really interesting, and I guess would make me nervous, I'm a player, JR, you have a pretty good idea what the financial forecast is for your team and for your league going in. And this tells me that the ownership groups around, and I was astounded by the overhead that Edmonton presented when they did it relative to their player costs. But, you know, that you probably look at this and realize, hey, this is probably what we're bringing in right now. Not that you can't move some extra tickets, but for a lot of these franchises, you're probably restarting your business. And where exactly are you at this point?
And don't forget about the role that TSN, the television arm, plays in this. That is a huge, huge piece in this. That is a lot of hours of programming that is dedicated to the Canadian Football League. That, you know, they're especially in the summer, there is not a ready-made, unless you'd like to watch more poker, there's not a ready-made fill-in for all that hours of programming that they would have a vested interest in this thing getting settled sooner
so
rather
true.
Than later.
So true.
Red Blacks, by the way, first exhibition game at home comes up a week from Friday, so they're not much past that Monday deadline of the first exhibition game. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. I think everybody, after a couple of uneven years of the, you know, no season 2 years ago and a shortened season last year that started late, everybody was of the hope that things could get back to normal timelines and normal amount of games, et cetera, this season. So we'll see if indeed that does happen. We'll keep our eyes on it for you with the labor dispute in the Canadian Football League. All right, without further ado, let's get to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline and welcome our man, Sens analyst Jamie Baker, for round two playoff predictions. How are you doing this morning, Bakes?
Sitting in third place, but I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, all right. I remember you with a very strong Florida sweep of Washington, I believe.
I was surprised that the matchup was closer to, as it was.
Yes,
and it's affecting my pick in the next round. I'm leaning towards Florida. I haven't decided yet. It's going to be a last-minute decision on Florida.
Bakes, don't let JR put you on the ropes here. He's trying to point out your errors before we make our picks. He was not perfect either. He got lucky with a couple of picking the number of games. He was only 5-3.
Some would say there's more skill in that, Simmer. Some would say there's more skill in predicting the number of games. But,
so, anyway. JR, you were 5-3, and
No, I think I went 6-2, did I? No, I went 6-2, but I got three series dead on. So good for me.
But back to back years, Jake Bakes, I went 8-0, and somehow there aren't bonus points. It doesn't really add up.
There are bonus points for correct amount of games,
thank
and
you.
You didn't hit any.
Thank you. All right, here's the standings after round one. Simmer, 9 points. JR, 9 points. Bakes, 8 points. Hammer, 6 points. Points.
Giving you guys a chance.
Double the points for round two. So every correct pick is worth 2 points in terms of the team. Do we want to go 2 points for number of games or leave it at one? I'll leave that up for a vote.
No, two for everything. Make it more fun. There's only four series.
You're good with that, Bakes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll go in order of how the series will begin, and we'll start from last to first. So, Hammer, you get to go first with the first series, which is the what was the gong show in the Glades?
The gong show in the Glades.
Oh, that is pretty. That's a good handle, actually.
Yeah. Not the Battle of Florida. We decided we didn't like that. All right, so game one goes tonight at 7 o'clock between those two teams. Now, they split the season series, each team winning twice. Florida won the last game, Tampa won the last game 8-4 after Florida had won 9-3. So a couple of shootout games between these two teams. Of course, rematch of last year's playoffs, which Tampa won in 6 games. The Panthers have home ice advantage. Game one goes tonight. Hammer, you get the first pick. Who's winning and how many games?
In the words of Chris Neal, Tampa's fun is done. Their reign of being Stanley Cup champions is over here. I kind of gave away my pick yesterday. I think the Lightning, they went through a lot in that 7-game series with the Leafs and Braden Point being out, and I don't think he's got a sniff of a chance of getting into this series. So I like the Panthers. Vasilevsky, they're still going to win some games. I'm between 6 and 7.
You need to pick one.
But I'm liking a steal in Tampa of ending it in 6 games.
All right, so you got Tampa in 6 games. Wow. Let's go to our third place finisher, Jamie Baker.
I am going Florida in 6 games. That is my decision.
You just made that on the spot based on Hammer going opposite of Hammer?
Oh,
you went same as him.
Same.
I was between Tampa 7 or Florida winning a series, like I said. And I'm not – Hammer didn't influence me whatsoever. I just – Braden Point being out. I don't know why. In my NHL network or the NHL bracket that I'm in, I picked Tampa to go to the finals. But I thought they got outplayed against Toronto, and I thought Florida should have been a little better against Washington. But for some reason, I think this is going to be Florida's year. So I'm taking Florida in 6.
Okay. All right. I'll go next, Simmer, since you went 8-0.
Okay.
You get the first place
finish.
Thank
you very much.
Okay. I am actually going to take, despite the injury to Braden Point, I'm actually going to take Tampa in this series. I was not impressed with what I watched of Florida. I still think that they have a huge edge in net, despite the fact Vasilevsky did not necessarily play that well. I still like kind of, you know, the top line players. And I want to go against you guys as well. So I'm going to go with the defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. And I, as well, will say they will take the series in 6 games. Simmer.
Yeah, and I also want to say Bakes texted me. He wanted to call it the Battle of the Cougars. I said he can't do that. That's what Maxwell's was in the early 90s. Yeah. So we don't want to reuse that.
Somebody suggested the Cougar
the
Cup.
Cougar
yeah.
this is one theory is that Toronto's such a good team and they had him on the ropes, but I do think that they were there for the taking. The foot speed on the back end. Barkov does not have a matchup like he did in Kuznetsov. Old Barky's going to be barking. Hubie's going to be hoobying. I'm going to go Panthers in five.
Blowout.
Bold, dude.
Okay, I like it. All right. Okay, game number two starts tonight as well, series number two. That is St. Louis at Colorado. These two teams played last year. Colorado swept St. Louis in four straight. Avalanche won the season series 2-1, although two of the three games were played in the first couple of weeks of the season. They only played one game later on in the season together. I'll go first on Bakes goes first on this one. Bakes, you got it. St. Louis at Colorado. What do you like?
Well, I don't see this being a sweep like last year. I do think Colorado breaks through and finally gets past the second round. I think there could be a couple overtime games. But I think they do it in six games. I know that St. Louis is deep. They had a great series against Minnesota, but I think this Colorado team's still a little too fast, a little too deep, a little too good for St. Louis. So I'm taking Colorado in six.
All right. I called St. Louis as my wild card good team to begin the playoffs. And I'm going to go out on the limb and take the St. Louis Blues to beat the Colorado Avalanche in the second round. And I say they go into Colorado and they win it on game seven. Wow. I will take the Blues in seven.
That's bold cotton.
Thank you.
That's a good series, though. That's a good series you have set up for us.
Thank you. You're welcome. You can stay up late for that one. Simmer.
You know what? No, I feel like the Avs, interestingly enough, it's not the grind that St. Louis was when they won. It's more of a wide open style that lends itself better to Colorado. So I'll take the Avs in five.
Okay. All right. Another blowout series from Simmer. All right. This is going to be terrible this round two. Hammer.
I'm going opposite than I did in the first round with a lot of long series. I do like the Avalanche pulling this one out, but it's going to go the distance. It's going to be fun. Seven games.
Okay. Series number three is Rangers Carolina. Canes took three of the four regular season games, and three of those four actually happened in the final 6 weeks of the season. So we've got some recent history to go on. Canes could be getting Freddie Anderson back at some point in the series, although maybe not for round one. So I'll go first on this one. I think this has the potential of being the shortest series, although Shesterkin kind of found his game toward the end of the first round series, but I think Carolina is going to win it. I want to go five, but I'm going to give the Rangers two games because I think Chris Kreider's playing at a really high level. So I'll take Carolina in six games. Simmer.
I just think Carolina's going to pick them apart. Nervous about Ranta, but still at the end of the day, they expose them. That's a well-oiled machine. Once again, I'll go Carolina in five.
All right, Hammer.
I really thought the Rangers found their game a little bit at the tail end. I know Pittsburgh didn't have Sid, but they won the last three games. I'm sticking with Carolina, but I'm thinking it's going to go seven games, this bad boy. Right
All
now.
Right, Bakes?
I'm with Simmer. I just I look at this Carolina team, and I know they struggled in Boston, but when they're on their game, they are so good. And if the Rangers struggled against Pitt, I think they'll struggle even more against Carolina. Well-oiled machine that was just spoken of, and I am taking Carolina in five.
Carolina in five. Okay, wow. So are you guys just going to all agree with each other, or am I the only person that's got some...
We've got a different amount of games here.
What are you complaining about? You have a chance to win. This is how you're going to win.
Exactly. Thank you.
Don't be part of the crowd.
And you know, whatever I pick, the opposite always happens. Okay, so last but not least is the Battle of Alberta begins tomorrow night with Game 1. Edmonton is in Calgary. These two teams split their four-game season series. Oilers won twice at home. Flames won twice at home. First time they have met in a playoff series since before almost everybody who's playing in this series was alive. 1991, 31 years ago. So, Simmer, you go first. Who wins the BOA?
Yeah, man, McDavid playing on such a level, guys, but hard to sustain. Old Smitty at his age, I think a bit of a drop-off. I'll take Calgary in seven.
Okay. Hammer.
I'm with the Flames as well, purely on goaltending. I don't trust Mike Smith at all. I like the Flames. Pulling this, I'm stuck between five or six, but I'm going to go six games here. End it in Edmonton.
Okay, Bakes.
I was going to take Calgary in seven, but the only way I'm going to catch Simmer is I got to do some differentiation. So I'm taking Calgary in six, even though I think it's going to go seven.
Yeah. So should I write that? Calgary in six?
And now you're forcing JR to take the Oilers, and he's a Calgary fan. This actually sets up perfectly, okay?
I actually think Edmonton has a chance to win this series. I think McDavid is at such a level right now. And with Tanev out, I think Tanev being out for Calgary is huge. Huge, because they've got nobody that's anywhere close to him and being able to shut down McDavid, which is, if you can shut down McDavid, right? You've got a good chance of winning the series. So I think that ends up being huge. So,
Draisaitl's hurt too, though, for the Oilers as well. He's banged up.
McDavid is so good. Oh, man. You guys all pick Calgary?
Yeah.
We all pick Calgary. We've got Calgary 6 and Calgary 7 so far.
Just do it, JR.
You want a flame sweep?
Be your own man.
Plus, if you pick the Oilers, the Flames will win. So.
That's exactly. Right.
All right. Exactly. I can't lose. I'm taking Edmonton in 7.
There you go.
I'm either going to be so far ahead you guys have no chance of catching me, or a better opportunity that I'll be so far behind that I'll be counting on the triple points for round 3 and the quadruple points for round 4. To potentially pull this out. So, all right, Bakes, we got it all written down. We'll send it off to you. You're nicely tucked in, drafting in behind first place right now, sitting third, only a point back. So we wish you the best of luck and appreciate the time this morning. We'll chat again
Thank
soon.
You. Yep, see yep.
All right, there goes Jamie Baker in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. I'm looking down my list of what I picked. I don't know if I like it or not.
Yeah.
Lightning, Blues, Oilers, and Hurricanes. I'm carving my own path here.
Yeah, I also don't think into round 2, JR, I can't go into a shock zone. Probably my biggest shock would be the Rangers knocking off Carolina. Anything under, beyond that, I don't, there's not going to be some big. That would really surprise me, because even into game 7, I mean, the Penguins pretty much doubled the Rangers in shots, eh? Mm-hmm. And they were opportunistic.
If Tristan Jarry was healthy, Pittsburgh wins that series every day.
Well, and if Crosby was healthy, for sure, they wouldn't have brought it home. But that would be my only kind of semi-shocker. The rest, it's real close. And I think what's always neat, and that was watching Vegas and Colorado last year, we can talk all we want, and then all of a sudden you watch that first game, and you're like, whoa.
Why did I pick that?
Well, matchups are tough, right? You really don't know until the puck is dropped.
And back to Dave Poulin's point, I think it's a good one. When you get into the second round, the first and second, like, you're so wired to play who you played, and then the first and second game of the second round, often they're just kind of weird, right? Because you gotta sort of turn it 180 degrees and start to hate somebody else, and all of a sudden you can, a team that can be at home or favored or whatever, all of a sudden it's like, how are we down, how are we 1-1 or how are we down 2-0? And all of a sudden you're fighting, you're scratching and clawing, trying to come from behind in a series. So.
I think rivalries can help. Like, I do think Florida and Tampa and Calgary, Edmonton, but I so agree. I could totally see the Rangers just being a little bit of a letdown, right, after such an emotional win against Pittsburgh at home.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, share your thoughts as well. By the way, our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question. We're looking for your Eastern Conference finalists. Who do you think will be the two teams to emerge from the two series in the East? So with the four options, obviously, Rangers, Panthers, Panthers, Hurricanes, Hurricanes, Lightning, Lightning, and Rangers. Which of those four options do you think will end up being the Eastern Conference Final? Let us know what you think at our website, tsn1200.ca. It's just past 9 o'clock. We'll take a break. Coming up, the latest news. We'll run down what there is of a scoreboard. Only the Jays played last night, and Gatineau loses in the Quebec League playoffs. We'll come back with a fourth and final hour coming up next, right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.